From WGCU News, I'm John Davis. This week, News Press storyteller Amy Bennett-Williams takes us back to a day when her youngest son was just a toddler. The day didn't start out too memorably, or very good at all, really, until a chance encounter illuminated just how insignificant our minor inconveniences can be, and how important other seemingly insignificant things actually can be.
"Walk-in's welcome," promised the sign, and fool that I am, I walked in. One of my contact lenses had ripped a few weeks earlier. Ever since, I'd been miserable, tolerating, just barely, an ancient pair of glasses. Dowdy in the extreme, though I was proud of my delicate bilateral wiring repair using twist ties stripped of their paper casing, they looked like the spectacles of a minor Dickens character and were just as ill-suited for Florida. The wet heat rendered them pastily opaque. So early one morning, I packed up my then toddler and headed south to one of those one-hour glasses places, certain that if I arrived the minute they opened, I'd be out before Nash's morning good mood wore off. "Walk-in's welcome" is only true if no one has made an appointment, the receptionist told me, narrowing her eyes and shaking her head at my ignorance. Smarting from her crotchety rebuke, I shouldered my bags, hiked the fussing kid up on my hip and pushed my way out of the glass door and into a solid wall of heat. Everything went white, but I didn't have a free hand to wipe off my glasses or push them back up my nose. The morning air was as leaden as my humor as I strapped the now squalling Nash into his seat for the 45-minute return trip. But instead of driving back downtown on a whim, I decided to head to Bunch Beach, just a few minutes away. As I nosed into a parking space facing the water, Nash's mood lifted. Arms and legs waving, he smiled while I unbuckled him and squealed as I swung him up out of the car. I put him down on the gleaming low-tide sand flat, and he knelt to grab big handfuls of sloppy sand. He pulled himself up and took off running toward the fizzing curls of foam at the edge of the tide. I followed until he stopped and dropped again, this time to slap the ankle-deep water, growling at it, then cackling with baby glee. I longed for a camera to freeze this perfect composition, a small figure casting a spray of sunlit droplets against silver water and mother-of-pearl sky. Then, peripherally, I saw a long, white something at the top of this beach scene. One hand on Nash's head, I jerked my surf-spotted glasses off with the other, wiped them on my shirt, and looked more carefully at the shape. Parked in the sand was a white bus, inmate labor crew, painted on the side. It must have been break time. A handful of women in orange jumpsuits squatted, slouched, and leaned in the paltry shade of the bus. Though I couldn't make out their expressions, every face was turned toward the water, toward us. I wondered what they were thinking, if cleaning a beach was a privilege for them, or a sharp reminder of freedom they didn't have. And I wondered what they felt as they watched Nash romp with me in the water. If national statistics hold true in Lee County, most of these prisoners, between 75% and 95%, are mothers. I took one last look at the water and sky, picked up my drenched and drowsy boy, and pushed my glasses back up on my nose, gratefully.